Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
To be honest, I would put myself in the same category as D-Wade.
Now Artest has jumped over the scorer's table. Artest is in the stands.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
When I go to the writers to tell me who can guard in this league, I'll put a gun to my own head.
Welcome, everybody, to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is September.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
13th, 2021. This is Alex Barutha, and I am here in person with Ken K-Train Kreitz.
Choo-choo!
Whistle is in Vermont. Sorry, but great to be here.
I think this is the first in-person pod I've done in at least a year. Maybe closer to a year and a half at this point because of the pandemic.
I have forgotten how good-looking you are.
Same goes for you.
Thank you. Thank you. The camera adds a lot of weight.
I even saw you shirtless today, which is...
Sadly, he did, and he's still going to eat lunch, we hope. We'll see.
This podcast is presented by WynnBET, which is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcasts.
Boom.
We'll get some more words by WynnBET later, but... While everybody else at the company and maybe the world is freaking out about their fantasy football teams.
Freaking, literally freaking.
Yeah, week one overreactions.
The tech team was in a fight this morning.
Is Aaron Rodgers...
Over Ryan Tannehill, which I thought, hey, guys, perspective.
Yeah, let's... Here's some perspective. The NBA is what really matters.
Boom!
Today's podcast will be about looking through RotoWire's rankings for the upcoming season, the statistical rankings, comparing them to ESPN's rankings, see who we're higher on, who we're lower on.
Big, big writer for the ESPN rankings is former RotoWire employee Andre Snelling's over at ESPN, who will be on future pods, by the way, Alex.
Yeah, he's been on one of our podcasts before. We would love to have him on again.
We are not criticizing the ESPN rankings. We're merely highlighting some differences between the ESPN and RotoWire. And actually, we don't really know the what's the format on the ESPN of these rankings.
I couldn't exactly figure it out, but they're head-to-head. Okay. They're head-to-head categories. Okay. So I'm assuming they're 8-cat.
OTO. So that could be part of our so you win 8-category for us as well.
Yep.
Alex did all the wonderful pre-work. I just waltzed in here.
You had other work to do.
Yeah. Shirtless work.
Yes. Exactly.
Please stay with us. Don't hang up on the podcast.
Yeah, please. Please listen for the ad reads that are later in the podcast.
We're getting to the meat of this pod. Let's go, baby. All right. So ESPN, we got pretty deep here. You highlighted a bunch of differences.
I did. ESPN went 200 deep, so I decided to go 200 deep. Mm-hmm. But you can check our full rankings, which are like 500 players deep on the website. We just completed our player outlooks for the upcoming season. There are more than 400 of those. So if you go to a RotoWire player page, if you're wondering what our outlook for new Celtic Juancho Hernan Gomez is, you can figure that out. But let's kick things
really
off.
Really well written. Outlook for Hernan Gomez.
Extremely.
I know the guy who banged out the Celtic, Alex. He did a fantastic job. Yeah.
Yes. Short notice.
But I'd say about 85-90% of our draft kit for the upcoming NBA season is published.
Oh, yeah.
And we will frantically update everything now until opening tip. So outlooks get written. Somebody gets traded. Somebody gets hurt. We update those statistical projections and their written outlook, as well as the team depth charts, as we write up that news in player news. And Alex... Are you as big a fan as I am of the My Leagues feature?
The My Leagues feature is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you automatically, the day after your draft, automatically load your entire league, and we will give you league-specific advice via the My League feature. And it's a dream. Makes it so much easier to manage your squad.
Just 2 days ago, I had to adjust for Marc Gasol leaving the Lakers. That's how recently these get updated.
Yeah. You actually woke up at 4 in the morning because you had one more idea, and it was Spain time when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woke up in a cold sweat, like, Dwight Howard, you play 30 minutes a game?
Oh, I forgot to use the Big Burrito as his nickname, and then I'm going to have to inject that. Yeah.
Okay, let's kick things off. At the top of the list.
Biggest difference.
I don't know what the biggest difference is.
Highest ranking difference.
Highest ranking difference, yes. ESPN has Kevin Durant ranked third. We have him ranked eighth, ninth. If you are drafting and Kevin Durant is on the board at number three, would you take him or would you rather draft James Harden, Steph Curry, someone like that?
I'm going to take a step back and just get into – I'm not going to answer that question specifically.
Okay.
I think the big difference in the Durant ranking on ESPN – and our ranking is injuries / games expected to be played.
Sure.
But also, how often, especially during the overly long regular season, is Durant just happy to give James Harden and Kyrie their game? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a little bit of a Olympic bump for Durant because he was the man during the Olympics, right?
Yep.
But Durant's smart enough to say, I don't need to dominate for 82 games. He could. If he's healthy.
Yeah, we saw what he did in the playoffs.
Right.
Against the Bucks, especially.
Absolutely could. But he'd be kind of foolish. I don't know. It'd be silly of him to be Olympic-like every night for the Nets because they don't need it.
No, they don't need it. And we have, for posterity, we have Durant currently projected for 69 games played, which I think is a fair estimate based on how many games he played last season. How old is he now? Is he 32, 33?
He's younger than you think.
He is 30. He's about to be 33.
Oh, I'm wrong. He's older than I am.
Yeah. So Durant played 35 games last season coming off a torn Achilles, and he's a 33-year-old. That worries me.
He didn't have a very relaxing offseason either.
No. So that worries me just inherently. Like a 33-year-old coming off an Achilles with a, you know, he banged up. They don't need him to play. I mean, the Nets could have Durant, you know, play 40 games and they'd still win 55 of them. Like,
honestly, why wouldn't you just rest them on whatever the back-to-backs are going to be?
Right.
You know, because they Nash has to also keep these stars happy.
And yeah.
The easiest way to do that is like, oh yeah, KD's got an ankle, whatever. Who's it? Just so literally Harden can touch the ball five more times that night and Kyrie can touch it five. That's all about ego management. And the dilemma there, like, unlike a Joker who has to lead that team every night, especially with Jamal Murray out,
right.
Durant doesn't have to do anything. He could take half the season off.
Yeah, ESPN has Durant ranked over Harden, which I would not draft Durant over Harden. Harden's practically an iron. I mean, he's been an iron man in the NBA. Yeah. He missed some time last year with the bothersome hamstring.
Yeah.
That's an injury that can get anybody, keep them out for a while. But I would much rather have James Harden. Just because I think he's a much better possibility of playing 75 games. I'm a little worried about his usage because the usage rate with him, Durant, and Kyrie Irving all at the floor at the same time were not great. Now, it's not a huge sample size, but he averages like 16 points per 36 minutes when all three of them are on the court. How often is that going to happen? Not that often. He's going to be a threat for 30, 10, and 10 every game. He's James Harden.
You have to figure game count into these rankings. And I think some people are sort of like, well, you can't predict injuries. Let's just – no.
Put them aside, yeah.
Yeah, in a dream bubble. I know in football, Liss always does his no injury rankings. You know, rankings. And they're wildly different than our regular rankings because guys get injured and you tend to know who.
The no injury rankings, quote unquote, that's fine if you're in a best ball league or you draft like 15 best ball leagues or something like that. And you're just going for pure upside in every single league. Sure, draft Durant third. Draft Kemba Walker 40th. Like, it doesn't matter as much. Next on our list.
This has got me angry.
A Ken Kreitz favorite.
That's why I'm angry.
Fred Van Vliet, who ESPN has ranked 29th and we have ranked 14th.
I'm going to have to call Dre at the end of this pod. And vent some anger there. FVV, baby. No Kyle Lowry. No Kyle Lowry.
I know.
We are going to look at a career year for Freddie Van Vliet. They need him. Need. This is the opposite of the Durant situation.
Yeah. Well, and especially Siakam is out for the beginning of the year. He might be out a month. I mean, who knows if they'll even bother rushing him back. I mean, they're kind of a – Raptors are a tough team to read. Just are they tanking? Are they trying? Right. But, last season – Van Vliet basically averaged 20 points, 6 assists, almost 2 steals. I mean, you know, you look at his field goal percentage and you're a little worried. Like, oh, he shot 39% from the field last season. But he still ranked 23rd on a per-game basis in 8-cat.
Yeah.
And like you're saying...
Why would you drop him in that situation? He should be moving up, not down, because of Lowry's absence.
100%.
Yeah.
And, so that one, you know, I put out a poll on Twitter... About would you rather draft who would you draft first if they were all on the board? Fred Van Vliet, LaMelo Ball, or Zion Williamson? And Fred Van Vliet won that.
As well he should.
Yeah, and then Zion and then LaMelo. Yeah. But that was an interesting discussion anyway.
I feel like – or another way to look at it is Kyle Lowry had Fred Van Vliet to lean on. To help him in the backcourt, take shots, get extra assists. Fred Van Vliet is leaning on Gary Trent, Malachi Flynn, and an 87-year-old Goran Dragic. And Goran Dragic should not be on this team.
He doesn't want to be on the team.
Doesn't want to be on the team. He may start the season with him, but by the trade deadline, they'd be crazy not to move.
And they have low-usage centers. Kem Birch, Boucher, he's just going to shoot.
Fred, they're begging Van Vliet to shoot too much.
something to consider when you are, you know, in a draft, like – we do all this prep work. We put together all of this, the projections. But when it comes down to you're on the clock, you have 15 seconds to make a decision because you were messing around looking at other guys. And you're like, it's between these two guys. And it's always just comes down to a gut feeling.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that can just come down to if you're looking between two or three guys, does this person's team need them desperately?
Right.
The Raptors desperately need Fred VanVleet to average like 25 points a game.
Absolutely. 100%.
Next on our list is Brandon Ingram, who we have ranked 17th and ESPN has ranked 55. And I mean, personally, I suspect you can get Ingram closer to 55 than 17. But I don't think we've projected him for anything absurd, you know, basically 25, 5, and 5, which is slightly more than the average.
Last year's numbers.
Right.
I'm trying to remember, how many games did Zion miss last year?
Not that many. He missed time at the end of the year.
Because at this same time last year, I was saying Ingram's too highly rated. He padded his stats when Zion was out.
Right.
And now this summer, I'm realizing, oh, I was wrong. Ingram is going to do just fine with or without Zion. And frankly, their backcourt's worse now, right? And they need more from Ingram. In a lot of ways, they're going to be like the Celtics. This ball's going through the forwards.
Yeah. Zion missed only 11 games last year. Ingram ranked 39th on a per-game basis last year. 2 years ago, ranked 22nd, but that was mostly without Zion. I think we are a little high here. I mean, I think it's definitely possible he averages what we have him projected for. I mean, if you just assume improvement, he's 24 years old. Like you mentioned, the team needs him. But I think his stock since moving to New Orleans, just in terms of do people – like he's not in L.A. anymore. Like the average fantasy player doesn't care as much about Brandon Ingram.
That's true. Or worried about Zion growth. Great point about – a great thing in Ingram's favor is he passes really well.
He does.
Looking at 5 assists last year, 4.2 the year before per game. And now their starting point guard is Devontae Graham, who's really a tweener, right? You've gone from ball, a pass-first point guard, to kind of a chucker in Graham. I think Ingram's passing assist. They're going to need Ingram to be more of a facilitator.
Yeah, Graham is kind of interesting. He shoots a ton of threes. He can't get anything around the basket. He might be a better half-court guy than ball, but...
can create his own shot, maybe, as you're saying.
More. Yes. Okay, let's move down the list to one of the I don't even know if you can classify him as a sleeper anymore.
Shannon should be here for this. Does he still have the big Michael Porter poster over his bed at home?
Well, he at least I think has Michael Porter in our keeper league, which I think is something to be proud of.
But just to age myself, by the way, when I was a kid, I had the famous Sports Illustrated Julius Erving with the knee braces. Medium size fro, not the full ABA fro. 76ers, medium size fro. Julius Erving did the famous one-hand dunk. Back in the day, when Sports Illustrated was a viable like magazine people actually got, they always had a full-page ad for athlete posters, and they had this cool white frame around them. They were a thing for like 10 years.
Sure.
Anyway, the Julius Erving was the most famous.
I'm sure I've seen it. I've seen the George Gervin Iceman one. That's pretty famous.
I will embed this poster in the article post of our pod. That was a mouthful. But
I know what you're saying.
Let's get back to Michael Porter, though. Sorry.
Yeah, we have him ranked 26th. ESPN has him ranked 47th.
Big difference.
I think
Is this based? I'm asking you.
Sure.
You think this is based on Jamal Murray and when or... Even, I dare say, if he returns?
So I think you could look at like 5 different rankings websites, and Michael Porter could be anywhere from 20th to like 60th because you have the Jamal Murray factor. He might come back as soon as February. He might never come back. Michael Porter missed his entire first season because of a back injury and had I think it was John Hollinger. A former GM of a team has said that Michael Porter had the worst medicals of any player he had ever seen in his career.
Yeah.
So
that he's now proved to be over.
Maybe.
Right? Maybe.
See, Nick and I have had this argument all the time.
61 games last year.
61 games last year.
Season, right. So
55 games the year before.
Yeah, that was a problem.
But he's played extremely well. I mean, last year he scored almost 20 points a game on 54% from the field, 45% from three. That's unbelievable.
You know what I like about Michael Porter? Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is wildly overrated.
Yeah.
And a lot of drafters are going to look at the name Aaron Gordon and say, oh, that's going to eat into Porter's shots.
Right.
But Gordon, I wish Aaron Gordon had never won the dunk contest because then he'd be rated where he belongs, which is a okay – both sides of the ball forward, you know, a little bit of everything, but frankly, not particularly good at anything. Right. Doesn't rebound well. So that gives Porter a lot of extra rebounds he probably shouldn't be getting.
Yeah, Porter can get like 10 rebounds a game.
Yeah, like they, you know, and with Murray out, Jokic needs someone. Porter's always going to get two or three just easy threes on awesome dimes from the Joker.
Yep.
Where he's tripled. And then people are like, all right, Michael Porter's the one we got to guard.
And he's a good offensive rebounder. So if he's his shooting's off, he can grab offensive rebounds. Like, this is another situation like we're talking about Van Vliet. Do the Nuggets desperately need Michael Porter?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, they have Jokic, obviously, and Will Barton. But Will Barton hasn't been that healthy either.
Right.
I mean.
And also from a fantasy standpoint, what you love about Porter is he's a guy that will err on shooting too much. Like, Eric Gordon frustrates you because you're like, why aren't you shooting? You know?
Right.
But Porter's the other extreme. He's going to err on, oh, maybe I shouldn't have taken that three. Oh, well, shake it off. Let's play some poor defense and come back.
A lot of Denver's secondary offense will be Aaron Gordon with the ball in his hands running straight at Michael Porter to hand him the ball.
And then set a bad pick.
Yep.
And then, yeah.
As soon as Porter touches, it's not even out of Aaron Gordon's hands yet. He's already going up with a shot.
Yeah, because PJ Dozier is not going to carry that load on the second squad.
He is not. Before we move on, a word from WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision.
For Benjamins.
Listen up here, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Hey-o.
WinBet brings you all the latest action. You're like an old school disc jockey. You're like a hype man.
I'm your Ed McMahon. Yes, sir.
Like Run DMC. There's just a guy who's not even part of Run DMC just yelling.
I'm paid to dance in the background.
Yeah. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips.
You know, Shannon's got to get us WinBet t-shirts to wear for the video part of this. I'll do it. I'm shameless. I don't care.
I thought I saw a hat here the other day.
Yeah. Let's work on that. Thank you, good people at WinBet.
Yes.
Continue, Alex.
Want a break from sports betting? Not sure why you would, but head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat?
Baccarat, I thought.
Okay.
But I don't know either.
I don't know either. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet. The exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Did I ever tell you I ran into Franco Harris at the Wynn?
I
Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris. He was just at a blackjack table. No, craps.
Oh yeah, I love
and
craps.
And my wife's from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Franco is deep in the craps game, so my wife just walks behind Franco while I take an awkward picture from about 15 feet away. Franco has this look on his face, like, "Yeah, you can. Okay, I get this all the time."
Yeah, it's uncanny how famous people know.
Right.
They can tell that you know who they are.
Right. And they're wise enough not to get mad about it, but they're not encouraging either. They're just sort of like, okay, I'll accept this.
When I was at the Caesars Sportsbook like 2 years ago, and I saw Ryan Russillo there, and I took like two looks at him, and like the second look, he like could tell that I was like, how do you?
Sorry.
It's crazy how people know.
The Wynn, for famous people, the Wynn.
The Wynn.
Famous people love the Wynn.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drop that little nugget. Based on my one experience with Franco Harris. No, I've seen other famous people.
The question is, if you're famous, are you going to the Wynn, or does going to the Wynn make you famous?
Ooh. I don't know. That's chicken or egg right there.
That is.
Let's get to.
Yes. DeJounte Murray.
RotoWire favorite.
He really is a RotoWire favorite.
The bidding in the RotoWire keeper leagues for Murray is always excessive.
Yeah. I don't know if someone has him currently, but
I'll bet Whalen has him or Anderson. Whalen or Anderson are big DeJounte Murray fans.
James has been on DeJounte Murray for a long time. We have him ranked 34th. ESPN has him ranked 60th.
Where was he last year?
Last year, let me double check here. The thing about Murray is that, again, we're talking about, does the team need him desperately? And I think the Spurs are pretty much in that mode where it's him and Derek White.
But you know the problem? They've needed him the last couple of years, and he has not done it. He hasn't.
Yeah.
He has yet to prove, yep, I'm a guy you can lean on. He's a stable NBA starter, no doubt.
Yes.
But when you're like, we need a bucket, has the name DeJounte Murray ever popped in your head, even when watching a Spurs game?
No. I think partially that's just because DeMar DeRozan is the ultimate give this guy the ball with 8 seconds left. But regardless, Murray ranked 65th last season in 32 minutes a game, averaged basically 16, 7, and 5 with a steal and a half. Someone who has, I mean, he's been on pace for like 2 steals a game per 36 for a while now.
Steals are sweet. And steals is the category every year people undervalue until they're like halfway into the season.
100%. And, you know, the main thing for him is, can he start hitting threes more consistently? Because if he can do that, that opens up his driving game, you know, all that. But
second main thing for him.
Sure.
How many of those, was it roughly 6 assists a game DeRozan was getting?
6 or 7, yeah.
How many of those go to Murray?
Right.
You would think the majority.
Yeah.
But then also, why wasn't he playing more point guard last year? Like, DeRozan, not a natural point guard. Now, I get it that they had the two-person old man game going for a while.
Right.
But I'm just not sold. Granted, it's going into his 25th age, you know, season.
He's in his prime or approaching his prime.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, but I feel like we gave him, in part of the excessive RotoWire love, a lot of benefit of the doubt saying he's young, he's going to grow into this role, the Spurs are awesome at developing people. And I'm starting to think maybe he's just not the star they've always hoped he'd become.
Yeah. It is tough to project some of these guys. And the steals factor is a big swing piece because if, you know, we have him projected for 1.8, but if he averages only 1.4 because he's taking on more offense.
Well, and here's the scare too. His steals, despite his minutes per game going up 6 minutes per, steals actually went down from an amazing 1.7 to 1.5. Now, 1.5 steals per game is still awfully valuable.
Right.
But it's no longer in that eye-popping reach for DeJounte Murray category. At the very least, they should have stayed at 1.7 when his minutes went up.
Right. I think people, whether or not he hits 34, I'm not sure. I think people will reach for him at 34 just because of the situation.
Yeah.
It's the same to me as like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year, where it's like the situation presents itself.
But I think I got to give the nod to ESPN on this one.
Okay.
I'm a little more in the 60 camp.
Sure. Well, you generally, I think, draft more conservative. And I've been guilty of that as too. I'm trying to be more aggressive in my drafts, especially after pick like 50. You know, once I kind of have like my 5 guys, I think I'm going to start just taking shots at guys that like I really believe in. Because the fact is, like, after the first week or two of the season, you can replace almost half your team from waivers anyway.
Yeah.
You know, some guys might get hurt. Like,
We've got Murray at 34. So 12-team league, that's late in the third.
Mm-hmm.
You can get Jaylen Brown.
You could.
You can get Jaylen. Who would you rather have? Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, or DeJounte Murray? Because they're all in that ballpark.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the closer guy to being like an all-NBA player.
Yeah.
And it's a team that's trying to be competitive. They need him. All of that. Okay. Moving down our list, we have... We don't have to spend here's what I'll say. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this because everyone knows what the deal is here.
Speaking of me being more conservative, this is where I'm 100% against our ranking.
That's okay. Kristaps Porzingis.
Boo!
We have him at rank 40. Now, I will say...
Is balsa wood an appropriate nickname? What's a fragile material that I think, you know, represents? Porcelain? Kristaps Porcelain might be what I call him this year.
Like that fake glass that they use in movies to break bottles over people's heads with.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what Porzingis' knees are made of. Here's what I will say. So we have him ranked 40th. ESPN has him ranked 79th.
I'm giving the nod to Dre.
You can get him at 79. I'm pretty confident that you can get him there. What I will say in our defense is that we only have him projected for 60 games out of 82. We have him projected to miss 22 games. Now, whether you think that's too conservative, that's another story.
Where did he rank last year? Because you have that up. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Last year, well, do you want per game or total? 43.
Give us per game.
Per game, 40th.
Okay.
He is 40th last year, 36th the year before, 21 the year before.
So we have him at 40 this year.
Yep.
Which almost implies we don't think he'll miss more than 4 or 5 games.
No, I mean, we have him projected to miss 22 games, and we still think that even missing 22 games, he'll still rank 40. That's how good his numbers are, is what I'm trying to say. Right. His numbers are that good.
Is also a little center scarcity sprinkled in there. Does he even qualify at center anymore?
If he qualifies at center, that gives him a bump. That's something worth discussing. But everyone knows what the deal is there. If you're aggressive, draft him. If you're conservative, just don't. Jaren Jackson. We have Jaren Jackson at 43. ESPN has him at 82.
He might be the ultimate games played guy. I mean, rich history. Now, if you follow the Schefter rule of follow the money, they just threw a truckload of money at Jet. Wait, no, I'm confusing my power forwards. Sorry, I was thinking about the Hawks.
They will. They'll give him money. Yeah. So Jackson was drafted 4th in 2018. He's only played 126 NBA games. So, like you mentioned, the injury concern is real. He played 11 games last year. The thing you have to look at, though, is his 2019-20 season, where he averaged 17 points. You know, he's not a good rebounder. He's basically a 3-and-D power forward center. He's very similar to, like, Miles Turner or Kristaps Porzingis. He puts up those same type of numbers. And so that year, he ranked 65th per game. And again, he's someone who's 21 years old, if he can stay healthy. But again, it's an if he can stay healthy.
He's only 21.
I know. Something that was crazy to me the other day, I tweeted about this, but Pascal Siakam is, you know, he got drafted late, but he is 27, Siakam.
Yeah.
That's older than Giannis. That's 4 years older than Jason Tatum, Siakam.
Yeah.
It's something that just like...
You don't think of him because he started at 24, right? And you don't think of him as old.
Yeah, he made his first All-Star game as a 25-year-old. Yeah. And, you know, he got drafted at 22. It's bizarre.
Jackson is in that need state, and he's especially more in that they need him to produce now that Steven Adams is their center.
Right, because Valanciunas...
Gone.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
You could, because they were giving the ball to Valanciunas to like save them and a shot clock.
Yeah.
He's a high usage guy. You saw in the playoffs, he was just dominating.
Yeah.
Or like the play in, you know, towards the end of the season. But he was taking it to the Warriors, which was like incredible to watch.
I almost feel like they're like, hey, we're supposed to be tanking. Get off the team.
Yeah. They're
going to New Orleans.
I'm worried New Orleans is just going to have him shoot a ton of threes to space the floor for Zion. But
I don't know what's going on there. I don't, yeah. But I feel like Steven Adams' presence, they're just going to be like, Adams, you have to do all the grunt work because we can't let Jackson get hurt. Jackson's going to have poor for a power forward. Jackson's rebounding stinks.
It's bad.
So I'm not sure I have Jackson as low as ESPN does at 82, but I don't have him as high as 43 where we have him sitting
there. You shoot the middle, draft him like 60th.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people do because, again, it's that like
he's
sixth.
Off the radar for most folks.
It's that sixth round.
Have
like
the awesome John Collins comeback in the playoffs that I mistaken for at the beginning of the segment.
Okay.
Where do we have Collins while we're at it? I'm wasting our time. Where do we have Collins here?
Collins is, if I can do this correctly, 36. ESPN has him at 63.
So we got Collins at 36 and Jaren Jackson at 43. I would say I'm way more in the John Collins camp. He did get the money from Atlanta.
Yeah. And, well, I think Collins will have a good year, especially because Onyeka Okongwu is starting the season hurt.
Yeah, what's his shoulder, right?
His shoulder. They brought in Gorgui Jang, but you'd think maybe they just give a lot of center minutes to backup center minutes to Collins because they have so much depth at the wing. Like they
Gorgui
have Gallinari.
Hasn't seen meaningful minutes.
I know.
For a long time. Yeah.
They have so much depth at the wing. Like you want to be able to play Gallinari, Cam Reddish, Hunter, Herder, like all these guys.
Right. So Collins at the 5 frees that up. Yeah.
He's floor spacing 5. I love John Collins. I've been a huge fan of his for a long time.
Yeah, you got to get the Sports Illustrated John Collins book, which is a few decades off timing wise. But yeah, if they had one, yeah.
Should get a John Collins jersey. That would be obscure.
Which color would you go with? I don't care for the black version of their jerseys. I don't think of them as
well. I think they're all pretty classy. That red is pretty bold.
You got anything? Like,
the white is.
The Dominique Wilkins era throwbacks is really what you should get for Collins.
Those are beautiful. Yeah, I might as well just get a Wilkins jersey at that point.
That's the joke. When you buy a retired player's jersey, that's the safest route, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got my kid a Rajon Rondo fathead when he was with the Celtics. Why I thought he'd be a lifelong Celtic player.
Yeah.
Why didn't I just get Pierce, right?
True.
Terrible.
I have a lot of retired players' jerseys. I have Akeem's jersey. I have Vince Carter. I have a Blake Griffin Clippers jersey. He might as well be retired. Okay, this is...
You had me till Blake Griffin, but yeah. Go ahead. All right.
This is a big one.
This is big.
Russell Westbrook. So
Wait, whoa.
Oh, no, I skipped over Halliburton.
What I think
Sorry.
Is a big one.
Okay. You want to take this one?
Well, I love RotoWire's take here versus ESPN's.
Okay.
We've got Tyrese Halliburton at 46. Mm-hmm. Give me that all day long. ESPN still has him at 90.
You know,
Where do you stand on this?
He doesn't put up gaudy numbers, but...
Yet. He's only had one season.
The thing is, his numbers... So there are some guys, you know, when you talk about fantasy, where their numbers... Some guys' numbers just don't translate to fantasy. Some guys' numbers just do translate. Like, for example, Ja Morant. His numbers do not translate to fantasy because he doesn't really hit threes.
Yeah, yeah.
His free throw percentage is kind of bad. No steals. Right. Halliburton is
leads the team.
Halliburton's the exact opposite. Puts up no real numbers, and yet they all look amazing because he's hyper-efficient. For example, last season, as a rookie, Halliburton ranked 69th on a per-game basis. He averaged 13, 5, and 3.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem to track, right? But we have him, you know, we have him projected
at age 21, 20 season two, age
yes.
20. There's
room to grow.
Upside. There's huge, yeah. And also this, Marvin Bagley should not be starting the season with the Sacramento Kings.
Ideally not.
I mean, the problem is they're only going to get a bag of balls for Bagley.
Yep.
Right? But they really want Barnes at the 4, Heald at the 3. And Halliburton at the 2.
Yeah. I would love to see Bagley in a Oklahoma City Thunder jersey. That's probably where he's headed at this
point,
right? Give
him 30 minutes a game. Prove it or lose it. You know, amen.
He's better than Isaiah Roby. Like, it's not, you might as well take a chance on him. But, you know, the thing about Halliburton, so, you know, a lot of times you see these rankings, and immediately when I see rankings that jump out at me, which this one did, by the way, when I saw Halliburton ranked, 46th, or at least for us, when I saw him ranked 46th, I was like, that seems kind of high.
But so that's numbers over reality. That's the numbers over, yeah.
And I go and I look at his projections, and Nick did most of the projections, I'll say. But
and he drinks a lot.
Yeah.
That's a joke. I'm the one with the problem.
But you look at the projections, and they're... You could maybe even argue our projections are conservative on him.
Yeah.
You know, we have him increase about 3 points a game, half an assist, one more rebound, 0.2 more steals. His percentages are almost identical.
How about this? He shot 47.2% as a rookie. Like, every rookie has a bad field goal percentage. And in our projections, you just assume, well, that's going to go up 2 or 3 points in his sophomore year. He shot like a veteran. He's a wing.
He did.
He's a shooting guard, playing a lot of point. He's not just catching threes in the corner and draining them easy like PJ Tucker. You know, well, he doesn't drain them anymore.
No, he doesn't.
But like, he shot 47%. He's such a veteran who's going into his age 21 season.
He was close to a 50-40-90 player last year.
Yeah, he was 86% from the line.
Right. He's not a high usage guy from the line. He shoots a lot of threes, but like, he's such a well-rounded player. You know, you can play him at, you might be able to play him at 4 positions.
So he hit 2.1 threes a game last year.
Yep.
That's going up, right?
It should.
Yeah. Especially when Bagley's playing for the Thunder. Those ugly orange things they wear every now and then. Ooh.
I'm trying to think of who the Thunder would even give back in that trade. Derek Favors?
3 second round picks.
They'd be high second rounders. Well, you think about.
They could, honestly. Oklahoma City could just give leftover draft picks that are in their sofa. I mean, they got so many.
Right.
They got so many extra picks.
Well, you think about
choose any two of these. Just help yourself.
The Pistons traded Dumbuya to the Nets, and they got back 4 second rounders and $5 million.
Right, right.
So Bagley should be older.
That should be 18 second round picks.
Right. Exactly.
And a Sam Presti intern.
Okay. Next kind of a bigger name in our rankings.
There we go.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
ESPN has him ranked 18th. We have him ranked 55.
Here's where I think his whole trajectory will be based on. How many games does LeBron miss?
Mm-hmm.
How many games does Davis miss?
Yep.
The assumption is those old vets miss big chunks of games. And in those games, Westbrook's usage will go through the roof. It'll be wizard-like usage rate. Because they're like, oh my goodness, Russell, you're the man tonight. Just go off. And which, of course, he salivates about, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's all DFS because he's going to be all or nothing. When LeBron's out there, he's not getting to sit on the ball like he used to with Washington and Houston and OKC. He can't do that anymore.
This one to me is such a hard projection because he ranked 25th last year, I should at least say. Ranked 25th per game last year.
With all the usage he could handle. Because it was Bradley Beal, Westbrook, and Pray for Rain.
Exactly. And so it's kind of tough to tell what, just the entire Lakers dynamic. I don't know if I want a piece of any of these Lakers players in fantasy. It's a volatile situation.
I assure you will do this at some point. You will need threes. You will pick up Wayne Ellington for 2 weeks. You will then drop him for someone else.
Yeah.
Everyone will do. I will do that. You will do that.
Yep.
There should be a toast or some sort of clicking noise on my PC when that occurs and then when you drop.
It's Lakers on a four-game week? Hey, Wayne Ellington. It's kind of like the Joe Ingles.
That's 15 threes in the bank right there, yeah.
Yeah, there are always those guys. It's tough to know. It's like, well, is Westbrook so intense? Is he going to allow, my theory is that this allows LeBron to take the fewest dribbles of his career.
Yeah.
LeBron doesn't have to dribble anymore. He can stand at the three-point line, operate offense from the top of the key like Jokic. He can post up a little bit. He can operate from there. Westbrook can handle all the transition stuff. Yeah. LeBron.
The Westbrook addition hurts Westbrook's value, Davis's value, James.
Yeah.
Usage rates getting spread around.
And the question is, I'm equally as fascinated by the rebounding aspect of this because LeBron is going to demand his 7 to 9 rebounds a game.
Right. Westbrook loves to get the rebound.
Westbrook loves to rebound. Anthony Davis is, I guess, the most passive of the three. Anthony Davis is going to average 5 rebounds next year.
Just to keep things happy. Well, yeah. I mean, even if they're all healthy, you still sit those guys because who cares the first half of the season, right?
I know.
This should affect Westbrook, but I don't think it will. I'm just angry the Celtics or one of my other preferred teams didn't get him. Kendrick Nunn on the cheap. I was so hoping the Celtics would get when the Heat had to dump Nunn for money reasons. I was praying the Celtics would hop on Kendrick Nunn.
The Lakers have so much depth that this was another team that you look at their depth chart and you're like, how are all the are they going to play 6 guys at a time? Because they're
everyone's making the minimum chasing a ring so they can live in LA. It's crazy.
Their guard depth chart is Westbrook, Nunn, Rondo, Ellington, Horton Tucker, Monk.
Yeah.
Bazemore is there. I don't know, who's...
And by the way, Kent Bazemore, if you're listening to this, Alex and I would love some free Under Armour stuff.
Yeah.
We know you're big on throwing that around. We're here, baby.
I'm definitely a Bazemore fan. I'm afraid his career has probably gone to LA.
You and I are very Bazemore-like in the RotoWire pickup, which you're playing again tonight. In that where
I'm excited.
We don't shoot that often. We're just trying to not get hurt.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything, but not particularly good at anything. Though Alex can dunk. It should be known Alex can dunk.
It's true. I spend all day just kind of floating around the court, making passes, not playing defense. And then as soon as a transition opportunity happens where I think I can be the first one to lead the break and get a free dunk, I'm out. That's all my cardio.
And I'm the opposite. I'm just trying to grab those guys. Who can I intentionally foul here?
Ken's grabbing guys' jerseys.
Right. I fouled him, damn it. Stop the ball. Sign out.
I dunk and then I walk back on defense. I'm at the half court line while the other play is going on.
All right, so Westbrook 18 for ESPN seems a little crazy.
I would not draft him 18th.
How is the ball available that much to be ranked 18th? You need Davis. Hey, if Davis and LeBron get hurt, you're absolutely loving shares of Russell Westbrook. And that could happen.
I think I would not draft a Laker. I think if I drafted one Laker, I'd want all of them. I'd be like, just give me all
the entire backfield of a football fantasy,
score. Yeah, exactly. Just give me all of the Lakers guys.
Yeah. But Westbrook at 18, where ESPN has him, to me, that implies you need both Davis and LeBron to miss a whole lot of games. which could happen, but it seems like one of them will be okay.
Yeah. Okay, looks like, I mean, we may have like 10 names left. Do you want to go through all of them? Do you want to hit them quick? Do you want
one each? How many minutes are we in this pod? Is anyone still with us? Hello?
I don't remember what time we started, honestly. We got to be like 35, 40
you
minutes into this.
Two names, I'll pick two names.
Okay.
We'll wrap it up for the good people.
Well, someone that I know that you love, Beef Stew.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes, Isaiah Stewart. Well, Shannon really should be here.
Yeah.
The difference here isn't huge. RotoWire has him at 97, ESPN at 128.
Mm-hmm.
The Beef Stew, for a little while, looked like he was hands down going to be the starting center for Shannon's Detroit Pistons. And then Kelly Olynyk came into the picture. Now, Olynyk, not a classic five. Frankly, a good passing stretch four that also happens to be almost 7 foot.
Yeah.
With an awkward hairstyle, and he's Canadian.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Olynyk. Olynyk himself is a tough, like, what do you do with him in fantasy? Because if he plays 29 minutes a game, I mean, like, how well he was playing with Houston was absurd last year. So that's a whole thing.
What about this lineup, Alex?
Sure.
And finish your thought.
Sure.
Give Cunningham minutes at the one.
Yeah.
Would let you move Bay to the two. Let you move Grant to the three. So that Olynyk, this seems like a lot of moves to let Olynyk play as natural four, and Stewart can play, Beef Stew can play the center.
I mean, I would do that. I mean, I think they're so organizationally committed to Killian Hayes.
Yeah.
That they won't do that. However, I do think that we will see. I mean, maybe Olynyk just plays the backup four and five. He plays 20. He's a six man.
Yeah. Yeah. Which a role he's done before, so he should be fine.
That's his. Right? That should be his role in the NBA. Yeah. It's 26 minutes
if
a game.
He's starting on your squad. It's a problem.
Right.
Houston Rockets.
Yeah. So main thing about Isaiah Stewart, his last 19 appearances last season, he played 27 minutes. He ranked 80th in per game production.
Because he hits no threes.
Right. But, I mean, the thing about Stewart also is that he was actually one of the best, like, shot blockers and rebounders in the NBA last season on, like, a rate basis. I mentioned this with Nick on our last podcast, and this is as a rookie. 17th in total rebound percentage as a rookie. Mm-hmm. 8th in total block percentage as a rookie.
As a 20-year-old rookie.
As a 20-year-old rookie, who, by the way, is a 6'8" center.
Yeah.
So it's like if he can get 30 minutes, he's going to be one of the best rebounders, potentially one of the best shot blockers in the NBA.
I'll tell you this. In any RotoWire league that Shannon's a part of, Isaiah Stewart is going before 97th, where we have him ranked.
Yes. So. Yeah, because you're in the 100 range. You're shooting right. for – like what's
all
the,
darts.
Then. It's all best case scenarios. Right. And his best case scenario might be like 60th overall if he plays – I mean if he plays 32 minutes a game.
The ESPN 128 seems to be giving Olynyk a little too much credit.
Yeah, and they have Olynyk pretty high as well. I think they have him in the 70s. So I think they have
some
different
Rockets influence there.
Yeah, they have him 76th. Yeah. So they feel differently than we feel about their situation.
All right, I want to hear from you, sir.
Sure.
Because I'm a little biased.
Okay.
ESPN has Kemba Walker at 53. I've been cursing out Kemba Walker's knees for 2 years now.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much bourbon I spilled in the sports basement yelling at Kemba Walker. ESPN 53, we have him at 101. Please bash Kemba Walker.
I would never draft Kemba Walker 53rd or wherever.
Top 80, I don't think I could do it.
So if you want to look at this on a per game, like if you're a best ball, like best case scenario for Kemba Walker, what happens here? Over the past two, last season he ranked 59th per game. The year before that, 43.
Per game.
Per game.
Per game.
Total last season, he ranked 117th.
Right.
So I don't know what, and he's coming into an established offense already, where Randall Julius Randle
needs 1,000 touches.
Evan Fournier is going to get touches. RJ Barrett's there to get touches. They have Burks off the bench. They still have Derrick Rose.
I mean, if you're a Knicks fan, what you're excited about is, oh my gosh, we finally have depth
for free. Right. They basically got him for free.
Right. We finally have depth.
Yes.
Right? A great move by the Knicks.
It was, yeah, 100%.
From a fantasy standpoint, the name Kemba Walker for the rest of his career is always going to be higher than the value of Kemba Walker. Yeah. I like Kemba Walker as a person.
I do too. He's great.
Wonderful guy, great team player. He could have complained a little more about stuff in Boston and didn't.
Yeah.
He's home. Good for him. Love that he's playing in his hometown, New York.
Right.
But fantasy-wise, if he plays 60% of games, that almost seemed – I mean, the over-under on games played here on 82-game season, it's got to be, what, 61, you know?
Yeah, I think so. You're 100% right. Nail on the head. Amazing real-life acquisition. It's just not someone that's worth the hype in fantasy.
When you're setting your weekly lineups, you're going to go, oh, Walker, the Knicks have four games. Oh, Walker's got four games. He's not playing four games. I can assure you in a four-game week, he's going to have to take one of those nights off. His knee didn't just – he had a year and a half to fix that knee, and it didn't happen.
Yep. So we have him projected for 58 games. We have him projected to play 29 minutes a game. I think that – look, to me, that is great.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad on my over-under there.
You're nearly perfect.
All right, thank you. We just pause while I pat myself on the back.
So I think people will draft Kemba Walker 80, 80, 90, just, because you never know. But 53.
All right, let's get deeper. Let's get into the reach round here. I want to ask you about one more name, a name, sadly, that honestly, as a company, we've probably dedicated way too much airtime to. But let's do it anyway. Larry Nance Jr.
God, I love Larry Nance.
Younger brother still plays at Northwestern, not doing well. But
okay,
Larry Nance Jr., what I loved about him in Cleveland was his dad played in Cleveland. No one wants to be. He was one of the few athletes that wants to be in Cleveland, and Cleveland traded him in an awful move, frankly.
Nance, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated players in the entire NBA.
Bench dream guy.
Yeah. Always put up great per game. Really versatile player. Amazing athlete, can play three positions.
Hustles on defense, which in the NBA, you cannot take for granted.
Right. And was stuck in a situation in Cleveland where he was basically 20 minutes a game, and then Kevin Love would get hurt, and then Nance was 29 minutes a game, and then he's putting up like 15, 10, and 4 with three blocks. And you're like, why is this guy not playing all the time?
Yeah.
So he got traded to Portland. If you take a look at Portland's depth chart, I don't know how many people have actually like really looked at Portland's depth chart.
Not easy to do. It's painful.
After their starting five, it is really bad.
Are you bad-mouthing Cody Zeller? Yes, we are.
I mean, it's anyway, Portland depth chart's bad.
You're saying Mr. Little's not going to be huge for the Trailblazers? Yeah,
they were going to have like Nas Little play real minutes.
They still are going to have Zeller play real minutes.
Ben McLemore and Tony Snell are like the backups on the wing for this team. Really, like the backups.
Yeah.
And Anfernee Simons, they signed Dennis Smith. Anyway.
Also, I would argue, move Covington to small forward.
Could do it. Yeah.
Start Nance. Because Powell and CJ Cullum.
It's redundant.
McCollum and totally redundant. Thank you. Yes. I got so angry. I stuttered. I couldn't even complete the sentence. I was so mad at how utterly redundant Norman Powell and CJ McCollum are. Yeah.
Powell's perfect, like, bench microwave guy.
Perfect.
Yeah. Throw him and Simons out there. But I think Nance could, like, legitimately play three positions for this team. Like, small forward, power forward, center.
We may never see the use of Nurkic we used to see. Meaning
right.
Someone else needs to rebound on this team, and it's probably not Robert Covington.
Nurkic has had injury issues as well. Zeller is never healthy, so there are going to be some games where Nance is out there playing real center minutes.
Yeah.
Again, he could play 30 minutes a game as a backup. So, yeah, we have him ranked 120. I would draft him higher, potentially.
This team on defense last year
was awful. Awful. They need him.
Portland's defense, atrocious. And there's no other solutions. It's not like McCollum and Lillard just start to play great backcourt defense.
That's
not going to happen.
No.
Their only chance to improve this defense is a healthy Nurkic that cares, which I'm starting to wonder if that's ever going to happen, and Larry Nance in the starting line.
And Covington. For defense, yeah.
Yeah. But Covington was already there. I'm sorry, to improve where they
right.
were last.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, ESPN has him 179. We have him 120. I might draft him higher than 120 just because
you can get him
I'm so hot. You could get him at 120. Some people might know, yeah. I'm going to write so many articles that'll be like draft Larry Nance that
sidebar Larry Nance for every Cavs game, he would highlight a local business in Cleveland that needed help due to the pandemic.
I didn't know.
He would wear their t-shirt and merch, take photos of himself, and in the write-up would publicize like literally a donut shop on 3rd Street.
Wow.
And like, here's their website, and they're, go learn more about this great donut. I've had their donuts. They're awesome.
Sure.
And I was like, and he did it 82. Well, not 82. They 71.
Yeah. 72. Yeah.
I was so impressed. Anyway, go He's Cleveland.
Awesome guy.
The land.
the land.
And RotoWire favorite, Larry Nance. Do we end on Larry? You want to do one more player? You can do one more player, then we're out. Peace out.
Someone I would like to discuss.
Pokuševski. You just like to say that name.
Alexei Pokuševski.
Oh, bravo!
So
that's like fine wine when you rattle off that name.
I'm not bringing him up necessarily because I wanted to talk about him, because Nick and I kind of talked about this last podcast.
Yes, you are.
He is unranked by ESPN. That's, not in their top 200.
That's a little crazy.
We have him 131. So theoretically, Poku could be 201 on their list,
yeah,
but he would still be 70 spots lower.
The mere fact he's a 7-foot small forward alone says take a flyer on this guy.
I know, and Nick and I were having the debate. You know, last podcast we said, would you rather draft this guy or this guy podcast? And the question I presented to Nick was, would you rather draft Kyle Kuzma,
yeah,
or Alexei Pokuševski? And both of us said Pokuševski.
I mean, here's who he's competing with for shots in the front court: Darius Bazley, Isaiah Roby.
Yeah,
right.
Roby is. I have some hope for Bazley. He was kind of highly recruited,
yeah, he's
whatever.
Only 21. It's crazy how young he is. But yeah, yeah.
You have to trust me in that Roby is a nobody.
Roby is that stuff they put in sandwiches to make it look thicker. Like, not quite the lettuce. What's the white part of the lettuce that doesn't feel like it's lettuce?
It's just like iceberg lettuce or something.
It's the cheap part of the lettuce head that should have been thrown out, but they're like, eh, we need to stuff these sandwiches.
He's the ultimate definition of a warm body.
Yeah.
And, you know, Poku, you look at his stats, it's like, this man shot 36%. What are you talking about? He had maybe more turnovers than assists. What are you talking about?
Well, he's only 12 years old.
He's 12 years old and 120 pounds. Okay. I just think he probably will be he might be the second highest usage guy in the team. It's tough to say. So it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number one. Lou Dort's not really a ball handling guy. They're going to give some minutes to Josh Giddey because they drafted him. But Poku is their guy. Like, he's going to play 30 minutes a game, I think. He might take the third most shots on the team. He could take the second most shots on the team, honestly.
First round pick last year.
Yeah. And one thing that was kind of interesting about his offseason is they purposely had him not play in summer league because they have a specific offseason plan for him.
What is that plan?
I don't know. I think it's a secret. I think they're probably just putting him in the gym. They're probably having him work on specific stuff.
It's easy to hide someone in OKC. You know, there's not a lot of national press lurking around.
Yeah, no one's like, why isn't Pokuševski in summer league? Like, I demand to see. I would so much rather see Pokuševski off-season videos than Ben Simmons off-season videos. Like, where are those?
Hey, man.
Where's the Pokuševski benching 95-pound video? Like,
here's what I've... All right, to that point... I am 10 inches shorter than Pokuševski. I'm 6'2". He's 7 foot. I weigh 20 more pounds than Pokuševski. I'm not in great shape. Lord knows. But I'm not in terrible shape. I still run 4 miles 3 times a week, you know?
That's impressive, actually. I don't do that.
It's not a fast 4 miles, but I'm
running. Doesn't matter.
You know? But he's 195 and 7 foot. You know what? He can't be. Part of that program is loading him up. If he's 195 again this year... That secret offseason program didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Shoot for 205, Poku. You can do it.
205. I would hope so. Okay, that will do it for us.
Yes. Hey-o. WynnBET, baby.
WynnBET.
WYNN.
Yes. Check them out. It's the place where famous people go. You can be famous, too.
Franco Harris, me. Craps table. Right now.
It was awesome to do an in-person pod again.
Thank you for having me.
It's so much like... It's so much smoother. I know this probably goes like under people who don't like do podcasts, but like having to, when you're on Skype with like three people, you have to wait for someone to stop. You're worried about cutting them off. You can't read the body language or anything like that. It's just so much a better process than doing it.
I'll add too. We're about 2-3 weeks away from video. Back to the video.
Back
pod.
To the video.
This is just audio, but YouTube for the YouTube fans. We'll be back 2-3 weeks. Still figuring out that schedule.
Yeah, we don't have an end quote, so I guess we'll just end on demanding Pokuševski.
More Poku.
More Poku, more burgers, more pizza for Poku.
It's not hashtag free Poku. It's hashtag more Poku. Like, we need more Poku info. We need more of Poku to exist.
Yes. I want twice as much Alexei Pokuševski news as Ben Simmons news.
Yes. Trade Simmons already. What's taking so long? Thank you.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.